give you a very special welcome, and I hope that God and His mighty presence be with you today. You know, this morning, Pastor Tony was speaking to our team huddle, and he said this: "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, there's not so much rejoicing that's happening in our world at the moment with everything that we've just prayed for this morning about Ukraine, or what's happening in the locally and our global nation and everything like that. And there's nothing to be happy or to rejoice in it. But you know, one thing that we can rejoice in is the fact that God is alive, and that God is still in His throne, and that God is with us. Emmanuel, He is with us. He is our peace. He is our provision. He is our protector. And you are alive and breathing today. That's one thing that you can be, that you can rejoice in it. And so, you know, as you know, this devastation has happened this week. You know, I've lost my rhythm. I've lost my routine. I didn't know. I woke up this morning thinking, what day is it? What day is it? Oh, no, I thought it was Saturday. And I thought, oh, no, it's actually Sunday and I get to preach the Word of God. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I was actually late when I woke up. And I never really used to wake up late. But this morning I woke up late and having too many late nights, I think, out of rhythm. And so I just felt, you know, this morning, you know, we had this flood and devastation. You see it all in the news. It was like deja vu. It was 2011 and then 2017, and it's all happening. And, you know, one thing I realized is that after that fact is that people have to move on.
Yeah, that's right.
Life as you know it keeps moving on. You know, moving life forward. And you know that's our theme for the year. And actually the last couple of years is about moving life forward. And because if you don't move your life forward, you just stand still. You just get stuck in the mud, pardon the pun. But you just start to die inside. And so when you don't, you know, we can't allow the circumstances and the situations of our life to paralyze us and to just make us stand still. And so we need to move life forward. You know, the focus of this year is It Takes Two. It Takes Two. And this It Takes Two is a focus and a thought of bringing us back and a call into partnership. It's about the thought of that our best life is lived when we are together, when we are in partnership together, and we are better when we come together. Now, last Sunday, I preached Pastor Tony's sermon. That was a little bit of a impromptu. I had like 20 minutes to get this going, but you know, it's still the Word of God, and I hope that you took something out of that. I certainly did what I was preaching that word, and I, one of the things that I took in is here, is when he said, community is the most effective way to overcome brokenness, isolation, and disconnection.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that again. Community is the most effective way to overcome brokenness, isolation, and disconnection. And one of the biggest things that we have in our world today is the healing of hearts. We have a lot of broken hearts. We have a lot of hearts that are grieving and affected by the things of this world. And, you know, the healing of the heart, the affected heart, is through community. The most effective way to receive support through these difficult times is through community. The most effective way to care for our church, to pastor our church, to build our church, to belong to church, is through community.
Right. Yep.
And you know, the only way to remain in church is through community.
Right.
And so today, I want to talk to you about the power of community.
Right.
All throughout this week, this word community has been reverberating in my spirit. And, you know, you've seen it, the floods and everything that's going through at the moment. It's a perfect opportunity about community. I have seen people, I've seen strangers, I have seen, you know, neighbours that don't really know each other, just, you know, got out of their house and actually help. They show up and they show genuine interest and care and actually help people. throughout this devastation. You've seen it on the news. You've seen what's happening. People just got up. You know, when the chips are down, we just get up and show up and then care. And so this word community has not only been preached, but it's a word that has been practiced.
Right. Yeah.
It's not a word that's just been learnt, but it's also been lived. So I just want to pray. Well, before I share the word of God with you this morning, I just want to pray. Father, I thank you for your mighty presence this morning. Like the worship has just been so good for us, Lord God.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you that your word is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It divides between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and Father, exposes the innermost thoughts of our hearts and our desires. So I pray, Father, for people this morning, that your word become alive in their spirit, that your word, Father God, will be active, that they can, Lord, participate in it and apply it into their daily lives. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence this morning, and may you be glorified as I preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the power of community. And so I just want to give a brief on what is community. What is community? In a dictionary, this is what it says. It's a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. This tells me that you can't have community by yourself. It's a coming together with others. It's when you come into community, you can't just be thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
You can't be selfish about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you are going to have to share. This is what it says, sharing with others. And, you know, these are the two things that I think most of us as Christians struggle with the most. Because we trip up. It's those two things, sharing and others, are the two things that keeps us out of community. Because you know why? Because it's something that we need to be vulnerable about. It's something that we need to share to people. You know, the thing is, you don't have to teach anybody to be selfish. We're really good at that. We don't have a problem with that. But what you do need to do is to teach people to share.
Yeah, great.
Sharing is not natural. Sharing is intentional. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if you've gone to restaurants or cafe and everything like that, and I like to share my food. I like to share my food, and I get food envy. And, you know, when I came to Australia, we all share food. Like, I come from a culture where we share everything. We share everything. And when I came to Australia, it's just like, no, you get your own. You want something, you get your own. Why are you picking off my plate? And like, seriously, I'm thinking, what is up with you? Like, why can't you share? I'm sharing my food. And so I took that culture in Australia, and I grew up and took that in my married life. And so poor Daryl, out of the 17 years that we've been together, he's learned. We have this silent code, this silent agreement that whatever I order, he has to order the opposite. You know why? Because he knows without a shadow of the doubt, I'm going to pick something off his plate. And so what he has, I have. But what I have, I have. No, we share. We do share. In fact, unless it's gnocchi, because that's one of his favorite foods, that's his. But, you know, that's just an example, right? But what about kids? You know, you remember when you have kids or you have grandchildren and you have people, or like, you know, as teachers, you go and say, share, share. Don't be greedy. Share. You have to teach kids how to share. And so, you know, there was just something that happens in our life. And, you know, when it comes to community, God wants us to share.
Right.
God wants us to come to a point in community that we have to share. He wants us to share what we have. He wants us to share our stories, our journeys, our struggles, our dreams, and our hopes, and to others. Why? Because you and me together is better than me alone.
Yeah.
Your story is his story. And it allows people to be free. Do you know when you share your story with some people, they get encouraged? you know, the struggles that they have, the journey of faith they have, they get encouraged by your vulnerability, because there's something attractive about sharing. There is power in your story. We are a work in progress, and none of us are complete. You know, I'm going to preempt this to you. We're going to have a water baptism as we normally do at Easter time. And there's a few people who are wanting to get water baptized. And what we're going to do is going to take a snapshot of what God has been doing in their lives, and we're going to put it on the screen. Right. Why? Not because they want to show off, but because to encourage you, yeah, to put courage in you, that their journey, to tell their story of what God is doing in their life, and more importantly, what's God going to continue to do in their lives. And so it's a progress in their process. So in Philippians 1:6, this is what it says. Okay, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return. So this scripture tells me that part of my being complete and part of me being made perfect is when I am in community. Now, community creates and provides a place where we begin to share with each other. If we look back on the definition of community, which is this, right, it's a fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitude, interests, and goals. Let me put this another way. To give it more weight, community is also described as common unity. And you know what, when we need to come to that is that if this is the foundation, we need to have common unity in our attitudes, which is must be of Christ-like. We need to have common unity in our interest, which is kingdom-minded. You know, Matthew 6:33 is not on your screen, but what it says is that if you seek first the kingdom of God or the interest of the kingdom, then all these things shall be added unto you. What about our goals? You know, it's written in John 10:10, where that we have goals to have a victorious and abundant life. And also in John 3:16, where it says we have goals to have eternal life. And we know that our goals is not so we can attain it, it's through the grace of God. But that's what it is, that we have a common unity in these sorts of areas. So if this is the foundation of community, then my question to each and every one of us is your community looking like that? Who is your community, you may ask? Well, your community is your people, your tribe, your friends, your families, your partners, your colleagues, and anyone, really, your neighbour. That's your community. But are the people that you are hanging around in the season of your life this morning, is that have those three things? Do you have common unity in those three things? Because is it centred around Jesus? You know, this sort of question doesn't become popular because what it requires is for us to self-evaluate. Evaluate and reflect the places, the people, and our posture in our life. God has a plan for our life. We see in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans to prosper you, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So if that's the case, then God knows the type of environment. Everybody say environment. God knows the type of environment and surroundings you will grow in, that you will flourish in and that you will thrive in. It's not just to survive. This Christian life is not for you to just survive and get your ticket to heaven and say, "Yeah, I survived." It's not, you know, it's not the song or a trophy to say that you survived. It's more than that. It's about flourishing. It's about thriving. And so there's four things that I want to talk to you about this morning when it comes to community. Number one, what's going on? Your community matters. Community matters. It matters that you find yourself in it, but what community you find yourself in, that matters. Yeah. It's been said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Or it says, show me your five closest friends and I'll show you the 5 years of your life. I'm doomed. No, I mean, you know, so like people will think that. And like, you got to think about the five people that you spend the most time of your life. Sorry, edit that. Your friends. Your friends determine the quality and direction of your life.
That's right.
That's by Andy Stanley. The people you spend the most time with will shape who you are. It determines the conversations that can dominate your attention. It will affect your attitudes, the behaviors, and the interests and your goals. Eventually, you start to think like them and you start to behave like they behave and you start to talk like they talk. If you want to change your life, change your environment is another quote. Because we become the product of our community. Young people, I want to talk to you for a brief moment because you are so impressionable. You'll become like the people that you choose or you expose yourself to, listen to. It matters who you hang out with. It matters what voices you listen to. It matters what opinions you're granting yourself access to, because over time they start to speak into your life. They start to speak into your future and into your families. If you hang around people who are self-absorbed, who are negative, who are gossiping, who are complaining and always about negativity, then before long you'll start to think and act and talk like them.
Yeah.
Somehow it will sneak its way into your spirit. It matters who is influencing you, what circles you find yourself in, because whether you like it or not, they will influence you. Now, a personal culture of mine is that for our household is that both of my girls are not allowed to sleep in anybody's house until I meet their parents or speak with their parents. And you might say, hey, that's a bit like, you know, that's a bit control freak. Or that's like just, you know, that's a bit too, you know, 1970s. But it's not. Because you know why? I want to protect my kids as much as I can. I know I can't protect them with all things, but I want to protect them as much as I can, and I have control of that. So, you know, my kids say, oh, Mom, really? Do you have to really speak with them? I said, yes, I do. Because you know why? The Bible says a lot about our associations. The question you need to ask yourself this morning, and I need to ask myself, is the other people that I'm hanging out with, are they influencing me in a good way?
Yeah.
Are they bringing me closer to Jesus?
Yeah.
Are they lifting me higher? Or are they pulling me down slowly into compromise?
Yes.
You know, I said this is for young people, but I might say too that this is for all of us.
Yeah.
You can't escape this. Psalm 1:1, this is what it says. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers or ridiculers. It matters where you sit. It matters who you stand with, who you walk with, and who you run with. Choose your friends wisely. Allowing TikTok, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram and Facebook to be your sole community is not healthy for you.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 15:33. Yeah, preach it. I heard someone say that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. The bad company corrupts good character. Now, can I say and have a disclaimer is this. I'm not asking you to not hang around with people who don't know Jesus, because that's not the heart of God and certainly not the culture of this church. Because what we do say is that, and the scripture says, is that to go into all the world and preach the good news, to tell the good news. But you can't do that if you're just living by yourself and, you know, just being a hermit. But what I'm saying is that if you immerse yourself too much in that culture, in that community, in that environment, then for too long you will find yourself compromising.
Yeah.
The second point I want to talk about this morning is that community is worth the work. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to hide and in a secluded island and just not talk to anybody or interact with anyone. I just really do. The noises, the voices, everything is just too overcrowding. It's overwhelming. And I just want to get away. But the thing is, I can't. And one of the things that I thought, you know, that I know for myself is that while I like my own company, too much of me, there's only too much of me that I can take. Because when I'm by myself, I start thinking crazy thoughts. I start thinking weird thoughts. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is just spiraling me into depression and disillusionment and discouragement. And I just like, there's only so much of me that I can take. I'm a people person. I love people. But sometimes it's just like, can you like get out of my face? I'm just being vulnerable here, right? I think we all have in some point in our lives to say, I just want my personal space. You're going into my bubble. Stop it. And so, you know, but the thing is, we need people. We need people. We need each other. Proverbs 12:25 says this, worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word tears them up, a person up. Now, where do you think this encouraging word comes from?
Right.
It comes from people.
Yeah.
Right? We need to encourage each other. We need to speak life to each other. We need to sharpen each other. God is intentional about us having community. It's how he builds his church,
yeah.
Which is part of the vision and mandate of this church, is that we need to reach the lost, make disciples,
yeah.
and build the church. RMB, so that you
yeah.
can remember that.
Yeah.
Reach, make, and build. The way God builds his church is through community, through connection, and through contribution. This is why we have connect groups. And this is why it's so important. This is why you will always hear me harping about connect groups, because connect groups are important.
Yeah.
Connect groups is
yeah.
a life. It's not a program in our church, but it's the DNA of our church.
Yeah.
It's something that we need to do. Not something that just you do another tick. There are times when you just don't want to go to connect groups. Let's just be honest, right? I don't want to go to connect groups sometimes, but I can't because it's at my house. Right? So for whatever reason, I just got to pull myself up and get out of this space and actually get together with people.
Yeah.
And over time, I go, yeah, I'm really glad I didn't cancel tonight, because, you know, it enriches our lives.
Right.
It's worth the work. Now, community, relationships, and fellowship is always worth the work and the effort you put into it. Psalm 68:6 says this, God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. I know some of us have challenging families. Almost every family is dysfunctional or has some dysfunctional moments. And it's true for every church. You can't go from church to church and find that there's no dysfunction there.
Right.
Churches have dysfunctional moments because it's humanity
yeah.
just going after divinity.
Yeah, that's right.
And in our humanness, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to rub
yeah.
on each other. We're going to just offend each other. But you know what? You can't walk away. Well, you probably could, but we need to be adults. So we need to work things out.
Yeah.
Family is important. You may not have a biological family that you can relate to or share with. I don't know what your family dynamics are like, but here, in this house, in this community, you have a community, a godly family
yeah.
that you can share your life with,
yeah.
to support you, to believe you, to cheer you on, to fight for you. So if you're not in a connect group, see the Ask Me Desk for more details, or see Daryl and myself after the service. We'll put you on one. Because you know what? While we get to do this on a Sunday, the Sunday gathering is very important. There's something tangible that happens in the room. Now, I know people that are online, that happens too, because God does not separate, you know, locations and everything. God can still meet you where you're at.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is when you're in the room, when you're in a Sunday gathering, something tangible happens in that room.
Right.
But what happens is, as you look around, you're all on rows. You're all on rows. But in a connect group, we're in circles. We're in circles. God never created us to live by ourselves, but to do life by ourselves, but He created you and I to be in community. In connect groups, it helps you grow. You can have deep and meaningful relationships. You need have, and you also need to have people to have fun with. Who wants to have fun? You know, life is so serious. We need to have fun with people. And we need people that we can laugh with and eat with. And it doesn't have to be heavy and spiritual in nature all the time. Because
right.
You know what? Healing happens when you're in the right community.
Right.
Community is where you can be developed and be discipled. And in turn, you can develop and disciple others. It's a biblical plan of God. Is everyone okay?
Great.
The third point I wanted to share with you is community makes us better. We make better human beings, better disciples, better people.
Yeah.
And I want to be a better person, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a better person
yeah.
this year? And, you know, the rest of your life you want to be a better person? I want to grow. But our growth hinges on community. Our growth can be stumped because we're sitting in a lower community. We're sitting with people who are better than us. So instead of being propelled to our destiny, we get stuck. We get paralyzed and stuck in the lower level and we get stuck in the mud. We need to be propelled toward our destiny, but we become stagnant and still. And this is the thing that I've always remembered when Pastor Tony says this, is that just because they are good to you, doesn't mean that they are good for you. You need people to sharpen you. You need people to sharpen you. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. This scripture tells me right here that the principle is that God wants us to pay attention to it. Because clearly, God wants us to be together. Together. Iron can't sharpen iron if it's not next to it. You have to be close to someone, in close proximity, which means there's accountability. And you know what I find in the times that I've been living and being in ministry is that people don't want to be accountable to some people because people just don't want to be told what to do. But at the end of the day, you can't grow when you're not accountable to somebody. So I'm asking each and every one of you, who are you accountable to? Because if you're not accountable to someone, you know, Ecclesiastes, like last week we said about that, when one falls, they're in trouble. But when two is there, they can help each other up. That's what accountability is.
Yeah.
It's not a scary word. It's not a scary word. And God needs to sharpen us so that He can use us more effectively. And that comes through accountability. So He will often use people to do the sharpening. Sharpening hurts. It's uncomfortable.
Right.
It cuts. Sparks will fly
yep.
when you sharpen people. James 3:18 says this very clearly. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results. Look at this word, only. If you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. So today, I want to encourage you. Wipe out all the hurt. Wipe out all the offenses and the frustrations and the deep defenses that you come up with. Because oftentimes, people will hurt you out of ignorance, not necessarily malice. Wipe out what you know and the excuses that we sometimes come up with because community is worth the work. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry one another's burdens and in this way you will fulfill the requirements of the law of Christ, that is the law of Christian love. So you and I are called to carry each other's burdens. You might say, look, I don't want the drama, man. I'm really seriously over it. I carry enough burdens. That's like a you problem. Like, that's their problem, not mine, right? But we are called to carry each other's burden. Because it says here, in this way, you will fulfill the law, the requirements of the law of Christ. This is implying that if we don't, it is actually implying that something in our life will not be fulfilled because we're not living in the full God-given will that He has for us. So, carry each other's burdens. Philippians 2:4, this is what it says. Don't look out only for your own interest, but the interests in others too. Let us be others-minded. This means being intentional and talking to each other long enough to show genuine care and interest. It's not just, hi, how are you going? Oh yeah, that's good. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye now. You know, that's what we have opportunity of connections when we have cafe church. Take opportunity to sit down, you know, buy a coffee, buy a meal or whatever, and actually just be with someone.
Yeah.
And talk with someone long enough to show genuine interest in what they're going through. Because more often than not, people are going through things that you know nothing about.
Right.
You know, I did an experiment this week. I looked at my social media, right? And it says that I have 708 friends. And so I had a bit of a look. Wow, right? Wow. But really, really, can I be honest with you? Out of the 708 people, if that 100, and I'm being very, very generous here, 100 are the only people that I actually speak to. The others are just clickers and watches and, like, you know, go through your feed or see what she's up to now. You know, they're just like this. And sometimes I don't post anything. I used to post a lot. I used to, like, what's called to be a poster of many things. But, you know, I don't hardly post anything because I think, you know what? If you can't be bothered to get into my life, why would you need to know what's going on in my life? You know, social media gives us a false sense that we have all these friends, but they're not real friends. They're just watchers and clickers, like I said before. And you know what? When I'm going through something, I don't want you to just click and like and you know, put a love heart on my, you know, in my post. I want you to pick up the phone and actually call me. I want you to go to my house, and messy as it is and imperfect as laundry everywhere, I want you to come to my house and cook me a meal. I want you to come to my house and talk with me and pray with me and hold my hand and say everything's going to be all right. That's what it is. That's what community is. I don't want you to, just look at the highlights of my life. I want you to get into the lowlights of my life. There's just so many things that we go through in life and people just go, yeah, you know, I get you, sister. I get you, brother, but I don't want to get involved. That's too much drama for me. You know why? Because, and that's what I said in the very beginning, it's hard because it costs. Sharing costs. Sharing and being vulnerable with others costs. And it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. And so therefore, people just don't get involved. But can I just say and encourage you today? Community makes us stronger. Don't wallow in your pain. Just reach out. Just reach out to people. You need people that will know you. You need people that will look at you in the eye and say, hey, you are not okay. You are not okay. Let me help you. What's going on? I want to know what's going on in your life. And can I say this, though? Can I preface this, though? You're not the great corrector,
yeah,
or not the great convictor. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah.
But what you do need to do is you need to carry, be a carrier of someone else's burden. not correct or convict. There's a genuineness that comes out and flows out from the being in the community. So I want to recap. Community matters. Community is worth the work. And community makes us better. And the fourth point that I want to share with you is this. Community makes us stronger. Our strength multiplies when we build community. And I want to recap in Exodus 17. It says here, like, the people of God are going to war against the Amalekites, right? And Joshua is the leader. Moses goes to the hilltop and watches the battle. Now, Moses, he's really smart. He took two with him. And that's Aaron and Hur. Ben and Hur. So let me read to you. Exodus 17:11. It says here, as long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever Moses dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained advantage. You know, in battle, it only takes a matter of time until you're weary and weak. Because you can't fight by yourself. But what I love about this is that Aaron and Hur saw that Moses was getting tired. And they went out and got a rock, it says here. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And Moses sat down because he couldn't keep his arms any longer. And so Aaron and Hur came in and they lifted his arms to the people. To this, so that when he lifted their arms, they won the battle. But when he, you know, dropped his arms, the other camp wins. I tell you this because not all of us can be Joshua. Not all of us can be Moses. But all of you, each and every one of us, can be Aaron and Hur. We can all come in and recognize when someone is struggling and say, hey, I see you. Hey, I know what you're going through. Hey, let me hold you. Let me give you hope. This story for me hits home because there are points in my life that I had to go through that weren't particularly pretty. It's a low light of my life and needed people to be with me, needed people to hold my hand up. You know, grieving is such a word that you can't even describe. It's there. You know, you go through a lot of things, and what you need to do is people to hold you up, to comfort you. As Pastor Tony was saying this morning, that God gives us comfort so that you can comfort others. You know, I am so glad that I have a community of people here in this church that will do just that. That will hold me up and that will help me whenever there's things going on. There's no awkwardness. They just know. I didn't have to wait for crisis and pain to come before I reached out to community. And neither should you. Don't wait for the crisis to come for you to reach out to community, because one day you will need it. And you don't want that awkwardness. You don't want that thing that happens and then you have nobody. The thing is, when you share in someone's battle, you can share in their victory. You can share in their victory. So I just want to give you an illustration. I want all the people that I've asked for just randomly come up on the stage right now. Can you all come up, please? Please just come up. like you guys just come up here as well. Just gather around. Gather around. Yep, just quickly, where's the bag? Okay, I want everyone to come up, please, just in this side. I want you to go there, go right in the corner there, please. Just come over here. Just come over here. All of you, you stand there, come over here. All of you. And I want you just to stay right there, okay? Now, imagine. I like illustrations because it helps you apply this into your life. Now imagine, this pulpit is my enemy. Like he's coming at me, just really giving me grief and everything. And I'm just like getting tired. I'm getting weary. And I'm just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And I have my friend over there, right there. She's all alone. She goes, well, you know what? I'm just gonna do my own thing because you know what? I've just been hurt by the church. I've just been offended too much. I'm just gonna do this on by myself, right? So she's just right there. But I have this community. What I love about this community here, right here, is that when I'm fighting a battle, I'm not on my own. They can help me. They can gird me. They can hold me right up. But watch this. I'm going to go in here. I know you can't see me, but where's the enemy? Where's the enemy? Come at me. Yeah. They can't. They can't because they can't either see me. But I have a herd of people. I have a herd of people just wanting and willing to wait and actually fight for me. Right? And the good thing about this is that these people are ready. Right? And one thing about this is that half of these people can war for me, can fight for me, while the other half can tend to my wounds. They can help me, they can hold me, they can say, it's okay, it's gonna be okay. And you know, in this house, when we're in this community, when you have a whole bunch of people right here with you and for you, in this house, we're going to walk over and over there and we're going to say, you know what? You don't have to do life alone. Come over here, sister. You don't have to do life alone. I'm going to walk over and say, you know what? You don't have to carry this burden. We're going to help someone carry it for you. And you're going to come in here and you're going to be with the family and community. That's what community is. They help you. We're not called to do life alone. We're not called to live an island to ourselves. We are called to carry each other's burdens. So today, as I close this message, who is your community? Who is going to fight for you? Who's going to sit with you and talk with you and pray for you? Because you have a lot of people here. You just got to reach out. Don't wait for a crisis to come in order for you to reach out to community. Don't do that. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Give them a clap. And so today, this is so important. Community is so important. There's power in community. Who do you hang out with? Who is influencing you? Who can you grab that will help you in your journey? Community changes the course of your life. Because when you have godly people in your life, they can encourage you. Can we all stand, please? Community matters. Community is worth the work. Community makes us better, and community strengthens us. We just need to be intentional. I want us to sing this morning, "This is how I fight my battles." Because as you see there, as you saw there, it's a community of people going to fight the battles for us. That's going to fight the battles for us. We don't have to do life alone. Let's go.
Fight our battles. This is how we 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 fight our battles.
Come on, church.
This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
What a great word. Come on, give Pastor Marichelle a big hand. Outstanding. Outstanding. I learned something today. I learned many things today. Apparently, I'm not the great corrector. That is a revelation. But I'm actually the great comforter, the great connector in community with other people. And I love that thought that we're in this together. How many times have we heard that lately? We're in this together. What are we in together? Community. Come on, we're in community together. Share a meal, share a coffee, share some time. Yeah, it costs you, as Pastor Marichelle says, but it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. You've got to know who's in your zoo. You really do. It's such a powerful visual to have people with you, around you, holding you, caring for you, supporting you, knowing you, and cheering you on today. And we all need that. We all want that. And if you want that and you need that, then be that. And as you be that, you will receive that. The Bible says, whatever you give, it shall be given unto you. So be the friend you want. Be the people that you want to have in your own world. And God will bring that into you. Well, God bless you, church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for our online community today. Have a great week. Have an amazing week. Our cafe's open for hospitality now. Our food co-op is also open if you want to go there. God bless you. Have an amazing day. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.